Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, I'm Ellen Rohr. At Bare Bones Biz, we believe that your business can be a path to peace, prosperity, and freedom. Sound good? Great. Welcome to the Bare Bones Biz Radio Show. Hey, if you just want to make some more money, you've come to the right place too. On my show, I invite smart business builders to share success tips and tell their inspiring tales of challenge and triumph. So, saddle up, Biz Builder. The Bare Bones Biz Radio Show starts right now.
Woohoo! Joanne, Woo-hoo. My best friend forever. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much for having me, Ellen. I was so excited when you asked, and just in the preparation, it just kind of brought back to mind what excites me about doing events.
Oh, isn't that cool? Well, you're going to share what you know today. We're going to have a fun conversation. And let me welcome everyone to the call. Hey, I'm glad you're here. If you want to call in today, you can. So go ahead and jot this number down. It's 347-637-2284. And if you have a question for Joanne and you're listening over the internet, just call in and I'll see that you've called in, and you can raise your hand by pressing the number 1. And if we get interrupted today, so much the better, because we want to make this show really interactive and useful to you. So if you've shown up today, we want to show up for you and make this call specifically helpful and powerful for you. So don't hesitate to call in, 347-637-2284. And if you just want to listen in, well, Joanne and I are going to kibitz a little bit. We're going to chat. And Joanne, I want to share how I met you, and then I want you to tell us your story today, okay?
Okay, cool. Absolutely.
And then we've got some bullet points, too. You know, if you're the type of learner who likes to have a bulleted agenda, we have one put together at barebonesbiz.com/radio. barebonesbiz.com/radio, or go to barebonesbiz.com and click on the radio show page. And there's a list of bullets. These are some of the topics we're going to tackle today. And that'll help, you know, I look here, so I remember to stay on track, because, you know, Joanne, you and I could go off on tangents and just have
some fun. So true that is.
Yeah. But the bulleted points are there, and that'll give you an idea of what we're going to address today. And if you've got questions, again, call in 347-637-2284. Now, when I do this radio show, my intention is to be of service. At Bare Bones Biz, we love helping you grow your own extraordinary business and expand peace, prosperity, and freedom in your own life and across the planet. We think small business is no small thing. And my intention on this radio show is to invite someone I like a lot, like Joanne, and find out how we can use the great information and experience that Joanne has had to help you grow your own business. I met Joanne once upon a time at the Make Mine a Million event. I can't even remember which one, because it seems like we've been to dozens of them together. But Joanne right away just impressed me by being cool as a cucumber. She's got her little Madonna headset on. She's got a team of yes, ma'am people helping her put on a rock star event. And that is required, because that is a group that is very energetic and has a lot to say and is going in 10 different directions at once, and nobody can make you lose your cool, Joanne. I always admired that about you when I first
met you.
Oh, thank you,
Ellen.
It was fun then to meet at the event, and since then we've become great friends. And what I've learned about Joanne is that her expertise is in bringing a group together. Now, why it's important to have a rock star event in your life and in your business is because if you have something to share, well, it sure helps to have people in the flesh, in person, to share your gifts, your services, your message with. So that's a great reason for you to come on board. Hey, you know what? We've already got a question. Can I address that before we get started? Maybe a technical question, so let's hang on. Hey, dear caller, the last 4 digits of your phone number are 8054. Do you have a question? Hello?
Hello?
I'm the park. Hello? Hey.
Yes, this is Ralph Greco from Jamson.
Hi, Ralph.
I didn't know I'd push for a question.
You
know
had
my
your
daughter
hand up, but that's okay. Are you just like high-fiving us? Is that what you're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. I will turn you back into a mute again. And if you want to raise your hand again, no problem. Ask a question. I just wanted to address that. You can call in, and then if you press the number one, it'll raise your hand, and I'll address that. And if you just want to listen in for a little bit, we'll do that too.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Rob. Okay, cool. All right, the phone lines are lighting up over here with Rob and his call-in buddies. So, Joanne, why don't you get started now? Tell us a little bit about your story and how you came to be the expert of putting on Rockstar events.
It's really funny. I actually did not start out in this profession.
Uh-huh.
I have an accounting degree.
And oh, that's right. That's right.
Yes. Yes.
So you're just
and
a bean counter at heart.
I am. But I tell you what, that has really helped me lay a good foundation in understanding budgets when producing events. But what happened for me in being in that world of bean counting is that I absolutely hated it. And then I had the opportunity to come on board with Count Me In. And one of the things that I continually heard in the front room of the office with Nell Merlino was saying, do what you're passionate about. And what I found in working at Count Me In is that I was passionate about doing events. And that's where my career started with as an event planner. And
you know,
it just has taken off.
I just want to clarify. Nell is the executive director of Count Me In. Is that her official title?
She's
the queen
founder
of Count Me In.
Yes.
Let's say that. And Nell is absolutely inspirational and a real, inspirational is, I guess, the best word I can use to describe her. And I think that's so cool that as a result of working with her, you found your own passion and your own reason for starting a business of your own.
Yes, absolutely. And I've had, you know, I'm so grateful for the opportunities to continue to put on Count Me In events and then Make Mine a Million Dollar Business as we first met, as well as other events. And really, you know, it's like really looking at the details of things and thinking forward and kind of troubleshooting before they even happen, because there's a lot of things that happen as they're going along. So it kind of eases your mind to really streamline and be focused on the experience of those attending the events. So basically, I've been doing events for the last 4 years. And, you know, they varied from business events to book signing events to choir concerts. So it's very the opportunities that I've had have been very, very varied. And each time that I do an event, I learn something to take it to the next event to make that one that much better.
Well, just because I'm kind of a pop culturist, you've had some pretty high-powered stars as your main events. What's it like to work with people like Hillary Clinton and Gene Wilder and Rachel McAdams? I think she's so cute.
Let me tell you something. It was such a great experience. And you know what? They're just like us. They're regular people, you know, and that's the way that I interacted with that event. And I always focused on what their needs were, you know, and it was just great getting to know them. You know, you have a small window of time and it was, you're just real, you know. It really is. And just to take it to the audience, you know, and have them have the same experience.
So is Gene Wilder a nut in person as he is in his movies?
Can I tell you, he's a very quiet, humble, funny man.
Aww.
Those are
some of my favorite qualities.
Mm-hmm. He was just such a great guy to get to know. You know, and it's interesting because when you see them behind screen and then when they step on stage, they're a little bit different, you know, and basically he just brought all of that to the event, and how he was behind the stage is what he did on stage at that particular event that I produced.
Well, you know, I think that brings up something that's maybe not on our agenda, but something to keep in mind, that if you are going to put on an event, it sure helps if you bring yourself to the party and authentically present and are the same person on stage as off stage. I mean, you can
mm-hmm.
crank up the presentation a notch for the sake of the theater,
mm-hmm.
but it should be you when you come to the party. And it's neat to hear you say that's what you found with the people that you've been working with.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's your gift, too, is that you bring that out in them, I think, Joanne.
Oh, thanks. Thank you.
Okay, so carry on. So you started doing these other events and for different people and started to go, hey. So the bean counting background had some purpose in terms of how you can talk the talk with budgeting. But the event itself, the event planning itself, you started to get pretty turned on about.
You know what's really interesting? The qualities for an event planner are just in me. I don't realize, I hadn't realized that not everybody has those same qualities. So to me, a lot of the things that I do are just second nature. You know, and one of the things, and how I realized that is that a friend of mine is, you know, doing seminars and workshops, and basically her head is in the work that she's doing, not about the actual event. And just in conversation, it was like, well, did you think about this? It's like, oh, no, that's a good thing. So, you know, engage the experts, you know, because that is their passion, and bring them to the table so that you are, you know, definitely have that successful event.
I think that's a great idea, and it's just nice validation for this idea that if you are good at it, it's going to come naturally and easily to you. That doesn't mean you need to discount your services, but it does mean that you're starting to flirt with that which you're supposed to do in this lifetime. So I think that it's nice to hear you express that in your own business, and it also. Underscores the fact that you're good at what you do. That's good for your clients as well as your own personal happiness. All right, so let's talk about what would an event do for you, and let's talk in broad strokes first, and then as I interrupt, I'll be thinking of things like, oh, I wonder what, you know, it would mean for this person specifically. I might bring up some examples like that. And, hey, if you're listening, oh, and the switchboards are all busy. Isn't this fun? If you're listening, you can call in with a question specific to your company and how a rock star event with you as the rock star may be of service to you as you grow and go, go, go. 347-637-2284 is the phone number. Just raise your hand by pressing the number one. Okay, so what would an event do for you? When is the time as a business owner to consider an event? What kind of events could you have? How is it going to help you grow your business?
You know, there's quite a few things as far as what event would do for you. I mean, obviously, if you're selling a product, you know, when you're just getting started, just to raise brand awareness, you know, and to generate new clients, obviously that's key to your success. You know, if your event is cause or mission related, you know, about getting your message out to the community, you know, and actually in having an event, you'd be able to increase revenues as well. And there's a number of different ways that you'd be able to do that, just as far as getting sponsors. You know, you create sponsor packages, and know that what you have to sell is of value. You know, like you had mentioned earlier to me about, you know, about selling your services. Your product is your service, so make sure you put the value on that, as well as partnering. You know, you look for partners in the same target market. You know, if you're a hotel, you look for airline partners. This way you'd be able to increase your attendee pool, you know, and there's opportunities to cross-promote as well. So,
you know, as you're visiting with us, I think that some people don't realize that they are doing events. They might not be doing them very well, but when if you have an open house to show off your new facility, that's an event.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to a trade show and set up as a booth to share your wares, that's an event, right? So these are the kinds of things that we might be mailing in that if we looked at it in terms of, I should really pay attention to how I'm going to plan this event, what my goals for this event might be, and how I can get the most out of it.
That's really key. You're talking about what is the goal for the event. You know, that is where you really start. You know, is it a call to action? You know, or you're promoting a cause? Or do you need to inform or educate? You know, is it an internal event for a staff? You know, you're launching a new product, making sure that they have all the information so that they can go out there and sell it for you, that they have all the information, you know, or an external event, you know, that you're involved in someone else's event as what you said, a vendor, you know, or the recognition aspect of an event, you know, awards dinner, a fundraising gala. But you always have a goal behind the reason behind the event.
Have you do you have a story to share about someone asking you to do an event and their idea of what the event or the goal of the event, you know, if they have a goal for the event, or even if it's not quite clarified yet, that seems to be really unrealistic with what they are doing. What do you, how do you handle that? Is that question very clear? That's just kind of
no. I do understand what you're saying, Ellen. You know, basically, what I try to do is what we're talking about is the goal. Okay,
yeah.
What is your goal? How many attendees do you want? How much money do you want to raise if you're looking for sponsorship? You know, and you look at the overall picture of what you have in mind, and then what I do is break it down. Okay, if you want 250 people to be here, how many is that a week? How many organizations do we have to reach out to in order to get those people in seats? You know, it becomes much more manageable than just kind of, okay, I want to do this. So it's like I compartmentalize the various aspects of the event so that it really leads to a successful event.
So those three main questions to answer when promoting event is, what, let's nail down those. I think you just said them, but let's make sure that we document this.
Sure. Why do you want to hold an event?
Okay.
Okay. What audience are you targeting?
Okay.
And what's your budget?
And let's talk about the money, honey.
Okay.
Now, that's going to help you, too. So even at those first two questions, why do you want to hold an event, and what kind of an event could be something that you could help folks with?
Mm-hmm.
So if they know, well, I want to have an event because I want to launch a new product and show it off to my target market, then you could help craft the kind of event that would be appropriate for that?
Absolutely. You know what? Sometimes events don't really cost a lot of money. Like, we started this conversation about, you know, having things going on in your store or whatever. You can do an in-store promotion that you can have raffles just to create flow and movement within your store. You know, I don't know if people are that familiar with the meetups. I mean, that has become very, very popular.
You know what? Why don't we describe that? Because that really developed organically, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
Why don't you describe what the meetups are? Because I think that's a really great event. That's a really great example of how it was kind of, you know, brewing in the universe, and then formalizing it is what really made it take off. So why don't you describe what a meetup is and how they came to be and how they, you know, what the goal of the meetups are. Let's get a little mass to this concept by using the meetups as an example.
You know, basically what's happened with the meetup groups, I mean, it's finding people with the same common interest. That you might have, you know, Spanish groups, French groups, you might have networking meetups, you might have, you know, organization meetups, you know, women organization meetups. You know, this is all having the same consciousness around a certain topic and finding people that are involved and are passionate about the same thing that you are. Because what's happened is that when you raise your awareness and consciousness with like-minded people, you just continue to grow. You know, and if it's about, you know, learning how to market, that there's experts at these meetups, you know, that you go and you listen to a speaker and you get information so that you can take that back to your own business and help that grow. You know, everything is very streamlined. They have meetup.com that you can actually create a meetup group, you know, and invite people to these things. There is, if it's up to you, you can charge for them. But the system's already in place. It's a great system, actually. You can do a lot of logistics around that as far as creating name tags so that people that are coming to your event can meet each other by, you know, instead of not having name tags, be identified.
Uh-huh.
It just really, really eases, you know, people not knowing each other, helping that process.
Okay, so meetups.com with a
it's
with
meetup,
an
M E E T. U-P, as in Paul, .com.
Okay, meetup.com. And meetup.com, mm-hmm. then, is a do-it-yourself way to arrange an event. So if I've decided to do a meetup of women business owners in the Springfield area, then I could go to meetup.com, and that website could help me go through some of these basics and answer a couple of the basic questions?
You can. Actually, you can Google your interest, And sometimes there's already organizations and groups already established. And if there isn't one established, you can create your own.
Well, that's a real, you know what I love about that? That's a really, again, organic. It just kind of grows mm-hmm. from the overall need for getting together and then sharing ideas. Because these meetups, now, are the meetups always in person on meetup.com, or can you create something that's actually virtual?
You know what, Tibia, I can't answer that question. My familiarity basically are in-person meetups.
Let's keep our conversation to that for today,
mm-hmm.
because I think that I know that that's what you do, and I think that there is a power to being in person that we don't want to neglect to address with
mm-hmm.
our event conversation. I think that's what it really excites me about the kind of work that you do and the kind of opportunities we have to actually get face-to-face, press the flesh, look somebody in the eye, have real conversations. You know, I'm all about this Internet stuff. We're on Blog Talk Radio, for crying out loud. However, there is something to be said for the face-to-face, human-to-human contact. So
mm-hmm.
let's keep our conversation focused on that. But
okay.
even meetup.com is an Internet-based approach to getting people to gather up at a certain place in a certain time, find out the audience, establish a goal for the event, or tag along with someone's event that inspires you or resonates with you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do that kind of meetup for a real low-budget amount.
Very low-budget. You know,
okay.
I mean, absolutely. You know, it's really just selecting the venue, and a lot of times, you know, you can get people to donate space. You know, one thing that's great about an event, you can create it to be whatever you want it to be. You know, if you have a lot of money to spend on the event, you can make it that elaborate. If you don't, you can find a way to make it work.
You know, let me take a real-life example, and maybe you could take us through the process of, you know, you and I could role-play this a little bit.
Sure.
We'll talk about the main questions, and then as I answer them, maybe you could share what goes into promoting a rock star event, you know, in the planning phases, in the execution, in the follow-up. Let's just explore this a little bit. Are you open for that?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Like, I know in the contracting industry, and a lot of the folks who are in my community are contractors. I just love tradespeople, and I love to help them make more money, and I love to show off what it is they do. So suppose somebody wanted to establish themselves as the provider of energy efficient services. I am the expert when it comes to all things green. You want to talk about solar, geothermal, saving energy. You know, the tradespeople can save the planet. And I think a lot of these people, you know, tradespeople, are not singing their praises enough. I think
mm-hmm.
their target market needs to know what they can do to save energy, save dependence on foreign oil, to save time and money, and to save the planet. So if I were a contractor and I knew how to do things like solar energy and heating and cooling and plumbing efficient systems, how could we plan an event that would let my target market know that I'm the guy when it comes to those kinds of needs?
Well, I guess it really depends upon your time frame. You know, do you want to make this a big scale event, or is just consciousness raising? You know, what your time frame is. Do you see it being a 2-hour event? Do you see it being a full day event? And depending upon what you're choosing, really determines about what goes into the actual event. You know,
well,
if it's a
say. I'll give you some more variables, because this is good. Now, notice, like a great consultant, Joanne is going to answer my question with a question and find out more information before she just starts, you know, saying, do this, right? I love that about you. Okay, well, suppose that I have a rockin' great training center that we also use as a showroom, and in this showroom, in my shop, is absolutely beautiful state-of-the-art equipment, and all my team would be available to show it off and let folks know, you know, touch it, see it, you know, experience it over at my shop. Does that help
mm-hmm.
us maybe narrow down what kind of an event would be appropriate?
Absolutely. I mean, basically, you want to get people to your place so that they can see what they have available to them, you know, and to engage with your people so that it is interactive, to give them more information, to move them towards getting them more involved with what you are selling. You know, how do you do that? I mean, there's a couple of different modes that you could do. You could do electronic invitations.
Neat.
Email blasts. You can do print ads. You know, but you already have, I'm thinking you already have, an established database of information, of contacts, right?
So the audience could be my existing customers as well as people who don't know about me yet, perhaps?
And one of the things that you encourage when you send out invitations is to have them share it with a friend. So that what's happening is that you're creating more opportunity to get more people there. And what you can even do is maybe create some kind of promotion within that invitation. If you bring three friends, you get a free little thing, whatever you decide.
Well, by so you and your friends, a cocktail. Oh, wait, are cocktails appropriate? I didn't even think of that. They can be, huh?
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. That's what's great about an event. You can create it to be whatever you want it to be.
All right. Okay, so this is starting to juices flowing. So what we're really developing is a dialogue about what I'm picturing, and then you can say, okay, if you thought about this or you could do it this way, what
mm-hmm.
kind of a time frame would I need? Now, I'm kind of someone who likes instant gratification. Just based on what you know already about this imaginary event that I've got brewing in my head,
mm-hmm.
how much time frame, what kind of time frame would I need to pull off something like that successfully?
Successfully, a couple months. But for me, at least, you know, I mean, that you need to get that momentum going so that you have a successful event and have a lot of people there. One of the things that I find, it's the planning and the details to allow yourself enough time to put all the things in place that are necessary. Because when you don't, you cut yourself short. You really fall short of that great event that we know that you can have. You know, and that planning includes, you know, selecting a venue, selecting a date. Date is so key, Ellen. You know, you have to be mindful of the calendar, you know. Is it a holiday? Are there other events that are happening in your industry that there's a conflict that people would have to choose between going to yours or someone else's? So these are all the things in the planning stages that you have to be mindful of so that you don't, you know, you kind of avoid the obstacle before it even happens.
Okay,
so
if we put that date on the calendar, and let's say, okay, Joanne, let's give ourselves 3 months. So we put the date on the calendar, we're going to look not only for national holidays, but local events for, you know, who's coming to town and playing, is the fair going on that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make sure that we've got a weekend that we can either piggyback on something that's happening nationally, like maybe we can throw a 4th of July party, but to not be blindsided by what else could be going as far as choices in the community on that particular day.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, so now we've got the date on the calendar. I'm going to go all tactical on you for a second.
Sure. Absolutely.
What tools would you use? Outlook or, you know, how do you keep everybody on the same page? We've got that date. Now we're going to have to back up that calendar and put some mini due dates in, or, you know, benchmarks in, milestones as far as getting things done by certain times. How do we keep that organized?
Basically what you do is create a project plan. You know, this
okay.
is a project that you're managing too. And what will happen if, you know, if you decide that you're going to do program guides or some type of printed material, there's production deadlines with the actual printer that you'll also include in your long timeline from start to finish. You know, and what happens is when you engage vendors, when you are creating these events, that also adds different deadlines, whether it be, you know, catering that you're going to be bringing food in, you know, your audiovisual, if you're doing a full-blown production that you need to get them involved. You know, if it's an overnight event, deadlines for booking, you know, your hotel and travel for your guests. So there's a lot of different timelines that actually fall outside of the planner that you
mm-hmm.
just add to your overall project plan.
Okay, so do you use Outlook, or what kind of, I mean, t- tools are you pretty savvy with, just to give us a kind of an idea of what we could use?
You know what? When I first started, it was really creating an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
And sectioning it out according to different areas.
Okay.
Pre-production, production, post-production. You know, within pre-production, basically you're talking about site selection. You're talking about, you know, the vendors, the other vendors that you need to engage with originally. You know, pre-production also includes all your print materials, what kind of promotion you're going to do. I mean, basically promotion is a line item unto itself. I mean, you create a whole marketing campaign to promote, like leading up to the event, so that you're creating buzz and momentum so that you have attendees to your event. Seems like I have a little tickle.
Well, because we're talking a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I heard a siren over there. I hope you're not getting arrested.
No, no. It's New York City, Ellen. You always hear sirens.
Somebody's getting arrested at any one time. All right, so you've got your part. That makes sense. And an Excel spreadsheet is, I mean, that's just a meat and potatoes tool that everybody has. If you're good at a project management program, you could trot that out. But if you're not, I suppose a piece of paper and a pencil is not a bad way to go, as long as it's written down.
Absolutely, because you can always refer back to it. What happens as you get closer to the event, there's more deadlines and one-offs that you need to handle. So you need to have everything mapped out so that you know exactly that you're staying on point, so that you're making sure that all the items are covered.
So we could hire someone like you to help us with an event, but at any event, someone needs to be the in charge, the person who is managing this calendar and holding other folks accountable for their responsibilities.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And even if you do this in house, you know, there has to be a point person. Otherwise, I've been there where I thought you were doing this. No, that's, you know, and then nobody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so as we get the event coordinated, let's talk for a minute about that line item of promotions. This is where you're really clever, and share some really fun things that you've done to gather awareness and to promote an event to get our creative juices flowing.
Oh gosh, promotion, it is a fun thing. You know, basically, I had said earlier, just as far as inviting friends,
mm-hmm.
you want to share the experience with someone and encourage them to also come. There's so many different methods of promotion. You know, even you yourself going to other events and talking about your event. You know, that one-on-one to me is just so key. You know, I had mentioned about email blast schedule. One of the things that I want to mention in sending out email blasts, you want to do it on a Tuesday or Thursday. They're the best time to send out blast. It's a point known in campaign media. So
really? That's
yeah.
Great. I didn't realize that, because is that just the lightest inbox day?
Well, you figure on Mondays you come in, you're overwhelmed with everything that people sent you from Friday to Monday, and people do work on Saturdays and Sundays now.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of take that day and you just leave it. So Tuesday you come in fresh in the morning, you're ready to start the day. You've taken care of everything that came before. You definitely want to hump day. Wednesday is another busy day. Friday, you don't want to leave that in their inbox because they won't read it.
Yeah, and then come Monday, we're probably the most selective about what we're delete.
Absolutely.
Most selective about what we're actually going to keep.
Absolutely.
I'm with you. I'm just kind of, that's just washing over me as far as, yeah, I think that's exactly how I behave.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so email blast there. So there's different marketing ways we can do it. Talk to us about the message. We do get a lot of stuff. We get a lot of print. We get a lot of email. What are some tips that are going to get this promotion found? How are my customers going to invite them? How do they know? How do they hear the message through the noise?
You want to be clear and concise of why they need to attend your event. It doesn't have to be a full page or anything. Strictly bullet points. What's the value added for those people to come to your event? You know, what you said earlier, just as far as being selective. I mean, you are inundated, I know I am, with people sending me things all the time. So if your message is short and direct, you have their attention. You know, you want to make it easy for people to read what's important. A lot of times what I do when I'm sending out blasts is highlight those things, because when you open it, your eye will go there.
Yeah.
You know, so that's key as well.
And that idea of, like, you know, with this imaginary event that we have going on, do you want to save money? Do you want to save energy? Do you want to save the planet? We'll show you how. Let's come and experience these cool systems firsthand from our rock star team or something. You know, that idea to know what's in it for them and communicate that clearly and succinctly in a few words.
Yeah, succinctly.
You mean succinctly?
Yeah, that's it.
With that. Okay, then I can see that we don't need to get fancy here, just what's in it for them in a compelling question or message. Boom.
Exactly. Social media is another key, just as far as creating Facebook events, Facebook groups, and tweeting. I mean, that's, you know, where people are moving to. You know, I am becoming more familiar with those things, and it's unbelievable how much that takes off. You know, there's definitely a niche of people that are truly Facebook fanatics. So that's a really good medium to use.
You know, it's interesting, too, as we look at our kids. You and I have kids about the same age, and that's how they plan their day. That's how they plan their parties.
Mm-hmm.
They're not sending paper invitations. I guess if they get married or something, we might have to zip over to the printer. But for virtually everything else, we're going to get a Facebook invite or a text or maybe an email blast, but this is really the way people are gathering anymore.
Exactly. If you're using an online registration, Ellen, they provide email invitations. And what's really great about using an online registration system is that you can see the open rate. You can see those that, you know, got lost in spam.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do follow-up, you know.
What's a couple of things that folks can jot down? What are a couple of websites that will help them do that?
Eventbrite, EventBrite,
.com.
And what happens with Eventbrite, you know, if you are charging a fee, they will take a small percentage, but the platform is already created. So you don't have to recreate the wheel. That's one thing in events. I don't need to recreate a wheel.
Yeah.
Let me know what works for you, and I'll add to it.
I think I'm really getting that out of the conversation here. This doesn't have to be super complicated. You
mm-hmm.
can, you know, tag on what people have already figured out as far as putting an event together and use that to your advantage.
Absolutely.
What about, how do I, you know, I want to invite my customers, I want to ask them to bring a friend, I want to show off this groovy stuff that we've got going. How do I get the media interested in something like this? What are the kinds of messages that would cause someone in from the newspaper or from the local television station to say, hey, we better get out there and cover this?
It's funny that you're bringing that up, but I'm glad that you did. Basically, the event is what drives the publicity. The mistake that happens sometimes is that you create an event without really thinking about the storyline. What's going to appeal to the media? Sometimes, you know, you think about, do I invest some dollars into, you know, a PR plan? Absolutely. Because long term, you're going to put your face on the map. One of the things that happens in, you know, creating this plan is that you have your pre-event publicity, what's driving attendance. You know, I mentioned about having, you know, being clear in your messaging. Make sure that you include the benefits. And then the event day, you know, what media are covering the event. About a month out before the event, you actually send a media alert out so that you're creating some kind of buzz. You know, and then after the post story follow up, I have a great example. I did an event in May in Wisconsin. It was the first state event ever. And what happened with that, it created such a buzz because it was local people and their stories. this organization was still getting press in October, and the original event was in May.
What got the media's attention? What was it that they did that converted that message to something that the media would say, you know what, the community needs to know about this?
It's following the story of the people that it was written about. It's that there was what type of business that these women owned and how they grew their business. You know,
okay,
and it kind
so,
of.
Okay, so you know what? That's really worth underlining because so there is inherent in a human interest story the human beings.
Absolutely.
So if you can find that interesting component, that's what you can get media attention for. People want a good story.
I mean, look at the example that we started out with, Ellen. I mean, about saving energy,
yeah,
going green. I mean, that's hot. But
what
you
what
also
if
need
the,
to...
the owner had a story to share about why he's so particularly passionate and how he helped a local university create the first LEED project in the market area and what caused him, you know, to have the moment of epiphany. There may be some human interest story and something that's can drive publicity from that.
Absolutely. And one thing, if you in fact bring a planner on, the planner works with a PR company, you know, and actually I work with Ann Noder with Pitch Public Relations, and basically she runs with what needs to happen, you know, so it's our engagement that creates that buzz as well. So, but you really have to be thinking about the story, what will appeal to the media.
And I imagine that Ann's job is to go, not interesting enough, or tell
mm-hmm.
me more, or find a different angle to that, because what we sometimes think is interesting is still not enough. And a good publicity person is going to challenge you to dig deeper and find something that will really get the attention of not just, you know, your family and friends, but those folks who don't know you yet.
Exactly.
This is fun. I'm starting to see how this whole thing could come together.
Okay,
so we
fun.
Know we've got to get the timeline out there. We've got to have our answer the big question: who's the audience? What's the goal of the event? What do we have for a budget? We put the date together. We start mocking up the plan with milestones all along. And this way, we can hold folks accountable and start delegating to dos. Promotion, I got to think, is the biggie as far as making sure in the business they say bums and seats, and I think they're referring to butt cheeks at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Not any. A slur on anyone, but to get your bum in a seat is a good
Absolutely.
Idea, or standing at the party is really the issue, because an event with no one at the event is a heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. You need to find the hook.
Okay.
You know, basically, what is going to drive them to come? What's in it for them? You know, it's the value added that you need to figure out. You know, basically, you're not going to invite a bunch of insurance people to a dental convention. So
okay.
What makes what you're doing unique so that people are of interest to get there? So
maybe we're
going to
have a rockin' speaker, like an industry expert. Maybe we could have Al Gore show up. Now, that might
mm-hmm.
Turn off some people but really attract others.
You know, it's giveaways. People like
giveaways.
To come for the stuff.
Come for the stuff. That's it's
yeah.
It's fun. Or suppose there's something for the kids to do so you can bring your kids.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different ways that you can encourage people. You know, actually, you know, everybody's mindful of their pocketbook nowadays. Offer early bird discounts. Get them committed up front. One of the things that happens in New York City is that people just don't like to commit. They always think there's going to be a better thing, you know,
oh,
and
yeah.
they always wait to the last minute, which creates a little bit of stress when you're planning an event.
That is funny. Like, I don't know, maybe Billy Joel will invite me over, and
yeah.
then I'll wait till the last minute to decide. I got it.
Exactly.
That would be a little challenging.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just amazes me that people wait till the last minute. But some people do. But encourage people. Offer incentives. You know, group discounts. You know, bring a friend. You know, as I said, I'm always going back to you can create whatever you want. This is your event. You know, but I really think people are being more mindful about costs, you know, so that's a great way to get a hook.
Well, and I know that you could, okay, so if you want to have an event, like going back to our sampler, if you wanted to have an event at your shop, you could have a local supply house who also wants you to do more business with them. They could maybe foot the bill for the food, and maybe the local uniform company with whom you work closely and have given a lot of business over the years, they could sponsor the printed material. So you can find ways to get sponsorship for this event, because now the more people that are there and some representation from your sponsors, this is also going to encourage you could then have a free event. The problem with free is then people may not commit ahead of time. And boy, what do you do? Fingers crossed. Let's suppose we're going into the event and we're a week out. We have done our best with social media. We've got the email blasts out, the printed material. Let's say we're at about 75% of what we wanted to do. Do you have some last-minute pull-out-the-guns ways to get the word out and help get a bigger crowd to the event?
Well, if you're working with organizations, you know, that's really key when you start this process is to engage as many people up front as possible, you know, because they have built-in databases available. You know, what happens is that you create an electronic flyer, you're developing relationships with these organizations, you know, it's basically cross-promotion. You can, you know, start with that from the very beginning so that you don't end up that way. If, in fact, people, you know, that you don't have as many people as you wanted, it's really about creating an environment that looks as if the room is overflowing. If you don't get the full attendance, so that
okay,
it's not as if...
Tell me more about that.
For me personally, I always, in producing an event, is creating the experience of the people attending. You know, one of the things that are important is the registration, because that's the first touch anyone is having with your organization. You know, is the registration easy to do? Okay. The second touch is when they actually get into the room and they're picking up their name tags. If you decide to go a full-blown event and you have identifiers and create name tags for them, if that experience is not a smooth experience, that sets the tone for their whole day. So it's really important to have enough staff and enough people on board to make that flow easily. Now, one of the things that's great in working with venues, if you're doing, you know, at a hotel venue, is that you can collapse a room. You can make it smaller, not set up as many chairs, so that it looks as if it's a standing room only room, when really you had 75% show up. So, but it's knowing, because all along, Ellen, you are tracking where you are. And how many people are registering. So you always know up until the very, you know, last minute where you are in that process. And,
I want to just stop you to highlight something that you said. What you're doing is you're going through this event in your planning system. You're going through the event from the attendees' eye level. So, okay, here I walk in, and what does this feel like? And then I walk over here, and I have to do this. And then, so you can then create the experience that's going to be exceptional for the attendee, regardless of the group that we get, if you're paying attention and you don't let yourself get surprised at the end.
That's what I always hold true to for myself, is looking at it from their eyes, because that's what's going to drive the success. That of that event and future events. Believe me, I've had a couple that fell a little short of that experience, but I learned from it, you know. And the next one around is that you remember those little hiccups that you have to make the next one that much better. You know, basically what happens is that you remember what works, and then you learn from what doesn't.
You have some pretty good checklists after doing this for a bit.
Oh, gosh. Well, there's certain things. Yes, you're right. I do have checklists. I'll never forget I was doing an event, and the day started out with a fire drill in the building. We had to move 350 guests outside. Luckily, it was a nice day, but that's the way that event started. Yeah, we have some stories.
Oh, that's just, okay, just a little hiccup. Just come on outside. Yeah, okay, good news is it's not pouring rain.
Exactly.
Exactly. Hey, you know, this time goes so fast together. You know, we're down to the last 10 minutes of the call. So if you're on the phone lines and you have a question for Joanne, just raise your hand by pressing the number 1. Like if you're planning an event or you're not sure what kind of an event that you should put on, if we prompted you to ask a question inside your head, go ahead and share that with us by pressing the number 1, and I'll interrupt Joanne before we have to wrap things up. Joanne, what did you come to the party today with that you really wanted to communicate that we haven't touched on yet?
Let's see.
I think this has been really fun. It's been fun to go back and forth with this imaginary event and then just allow you to kind of share some general information as well as specific information, you know, using that as our organizing strategy. This has been really fun and really helpful. Just wanted to make sure that I don't cut you off before. Oh, Ellen, I wanted to make sure to tell them about...
You know what? You can really, as I keep on saying this throughout, about create what you want to create. Keep the goal in mind of what you want the end result to be. And then you just back into it. And it's really that simple.
I love the way you're making it so simple. So maybe some last day, it's game time advice for the host or hostess.
Breathe.
Okay.
That's the first thing.
That's and a good one.
Have fun. If you engage your staff and they know their responsibility, their part in it, and that's clearly communicated, everybody will step forward and be accountable to what they need to do to execute a great event.
So set your expectations, communicate it, and then the curtain goes up, and your job is to have fun and engage the folks who were who honored you with their presence.
Who came to the party.
Who came to the party.
It really is about having fun. You know, all the rest. And that's what happens, is that you're creating a tone. You're creating the experience for your guests being there. You don't want to be all uptight because that's the experience of what they're going to take away. You know, this is what their first look of what of who you are and what you're selling. You know,
and energy
is
contagious, isn't it? I mean, if there is someone having fun, we're going to like look over. You know, I want to go stand with those folks. What's going on over there?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know what? You can take it to the bottom line. You know, you have opportunity to engage in sponsors. You know, they want to be a part of your party too. Just like what you're doing in creating the hook of your attendees, what's the value added for your sponsors? They're looking for the same thing. And know that you own that.
This is so much fun. Hey, Joanne, before I neglect to do this, how do folks get in touch with you? I bet you could share your Facebook information
sure.
or your website.
Actually, you
Why don't
can
you
email-
share that?
Okay, you can email me at jmgeventstrategies@gmail.com.
jmgeventstrategies@gmail.com.
That's right.
Right on. Do you want us to befriend you on your Facebook page, or do you have too many friends already?
You know what? The more friends, the merrier.
Yay!
So please,
okay.
friend me.
Facebook page. Befriend Joanne Gwynn, and it's spelled G-W-Y-N-N. Okay. Joanne Gwynn, and the A is capitalized.
Thank you for remembering.
I got that right on my I like to do that. I like to spell names properly. I hope I did that right. Is that true?
You did. You
okay.
did. You did.
Well, good. Well, you are just the hostess with the mostess. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your stories and your grace. I think that really came across on this show today, is how graceful and calm and collected. Hey, let's have some fun. Let's put together an event. Can you already see that if you're working with Joanne, nobody's going to be having a heart attack at the 11th hour here?
Thank you,
and that's what that's really what makes working with an event planner like you so amazing. So thank you for sharing all your tips and ideas and good strategies today.
Thank you, Ellen. I appreciate you having me. It was fun, as always.
My pleasure. My pleasure. All right. So be sure to befriend Joanne or visit her at tell me your email address one more time.
Sure. It's jmgeventstrategies@gmail.com.
Well, and we're going to be working on some events together.
We are, and I look forward to that, honey.
I'm so excited about that. And we're going to be building people's businesses and getting good press for folks who deserve to tell their human interest stories about challenge and success and overcoming obstacles to build rockin' businesses. Boy, are we excited about that.
I'll tell you what, it's a great opportunity. Yeah. Thank you, Ellen. I appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon.
All right, darling.
All right.
Well, I will let you go.
Okay.
And I'll talk to you soon. Love, love, love.
Love, love, love. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, no. We're out of time. Thanks to my super smart guest. And thank you for joining us. You can listen in again at blogtalkradio.com/barebonesbiz. So down with the ball and chain of 20-hour workdays and piles of debt. Make some money. Fix and grow your own extraordinary business. And until next time, this is Ellen. I wish you love, peace, prosperity, and freedom.